Good morning, everybody. Good to see you this morning. Appreciate you being with us in our Sunday school hour. I ask you to continue to pray for Brother Benny. You know, he's up Virginia way, so doing the Lord's work. Pray that things will go well there. We'll be in Revelation chapter number 20, but we're going to be a few more places in the process of this. Couple of things I want us to look at today. Revelation is kind of an interesting book, right? But it is good to see you today. Appreciate you being with us in our Sunday school hour. I ask you to look at your bulletin, those things that we have coming. Those things that we need to be a part of. So if you be sure we keep it up with those things that's going on. Remember those who are sick and in need of our prayers. And of course, everybody's in need of our prayers. It makes no difference where we're sick at all. In the society we live in today, we certainly need to pray one for another. That is definitely for sure. But if you will, I'll ask you to bow with me in a word of prayer. And then what I want to do today, you know, I told you I did an unusual lesson for Easter last Sunday. I've never always go to the Gospels and talk about the resurrection. And we did it a little bit different last Sunday as we looked at what if he hadn't have risen and where we would be. But I want us to look at, we're going to be in the 20th chapter of Revelations, and I'm having a hard time getting away from these four, five, six verses at the beginning of Revelation 20. And we'll talk about that for a little bit in a moment. The process of those things that happen in the book of Revelations and the steps that take place as we go through it, sometimes are hard to understand. So a thing or two I'd like for us to discuss this morning. And I don't have the answer. The Lord's in charge, and some things he wrote out real plain to us, and some things he didn't. And sometimes I think that as he was inspiring the Word of God to be written, that he did some things like he did to cause us to study more, to dig deeper, to spend more time in the gospel. And I had never thought about it in that perspective until getting into some of this. But if you will, bow with us in a word of prayer. And Lord, we do thank you again today that we have an opportunity to open your precious word. And Lord, to talk about those things that we have looked at over this past week. And Lord, over the past years that you've allowed us to be blessed with having your precious word to study. And Lord, the thing that's so saddened is that your precious word lies in many homes and collects dust. And Lord, they're missing so much more that you have for us as you bless us to walk our Christian life, just because we don't open your precious word and have the precious Holy Spirit to reveal it to us. And Lord, you told us to study. And if you don't open the word, you can't study, and you miss those blessings that would be available to us. So Lord, we'd ask now that your Holy Spirit again would guide us today, that you would be exalted and uplifted, that we'd be in the background, that your word would be truth. And that you be praised and honored in those things that's done here, not only this Sunday school hour, but each time we gather the worship in this place. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, and thank you, Lord, for saving us. And thank you, Lord, for preparing us a home that will be eternally with you. Bless again those who are sick and those who have special need of prayer, those who've lost loved ones. Lord, we live in a world with many problems, but we have a Lord who can solve them. And I thank you, Lord, for the blessings of life. Bless this time together now in the precious name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Again, thank you for being here. Those on the internet who have joined in, we thank you for your presence with us this morning too. Now, let me read in you to bring us back kind of where we were and do some, and clarify the direction we want to go with our lesson this morning. Now, we know that we're fixing to go into the millennial. So we're talking about those things that happened just prior to the millennial rule of Christ. Minimum rule of Christ is of the 1,000 years that Christ will reign here on this earth. Now, again, you know, we have the rapture of the church in the beginning of Revelation. Then we have tribulation period, 7 years of tribulation period. After the tribulation period, as it closes out, we have the battle of the Armageddon, and then that rushes us into the millennial reign where we are now. Then we'll have the white throne judgment, and then new heaven and new earth. Now, here we are fixing to begin the millennial. Now, in chapter number 20, in verse number 4, it talks about, and I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given to them. Now, again, I want to remind you, he said, I saw thrones and they sat on them and judgment was given to them. That's not them being judged. That's them put in a position to help judge. They're going to rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years, then millennial. That's what that has reference to. And he said, I saw the souls, and here are part of those that's going to be reigning, of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. We should not worship the beast, neither his image, nor receive the mark upon their forehead or in their hands. And they lived, and notice the next phrase, and did what? And reigned with Christ 1,000 years. There is your millennial, 1,000 years millennial. And it says now, these that we're looking at in this particular case are those who have lost their lives during the tribulation period for the witness of Jesus Christ. And those are going to be resurrected at the end of the tribulation period. And it tells us in the position that they're going to be in, they're going to be with Christ, to live and reign with him 1,000 years. Remember, the resurrection of the church has already taken place. It took place, 4th chapter, book of Revelation. So now we will be joined by these as we enter into the millennial reign. Now, look at verse number 5. Now, verse number 5 says, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. And this is the first resurrection. But now it says, reference, it says, these souls, they were dead. They were resurrected, those who were beheaded, those who were martyred during the tribulation period. It says, these souls have been resurrected and made alive. They were dead. Now, it also has reference to someone else that's dead. But it says in verse number 5, and notice, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. I want to talk about that first resurrection a little bit more. more detail than we did last Sunday. He said, blessed and holy is he that hath what? Part. Now that word part, when I look at that, can be a twofold word. But I think in this particular emphasis, when we look back through God's word, that we have it not in a singular, but a plural, parts. The resurrection is in parts. You say, wait a minute now, what you mean resurrection is part? We've just talked about that. In Revelation chapter number 4, it talks about the resurrection of the church, right? Well, that's already taken place before we get here. Here we see the martyred saints resurrected. That's parts. That's two different times. That's two different parts. But they're all a part of what? They're all a part of the first resurrection. Now, as we studied last Sunday, and it was mentioned several times as we studied through God's word and looked at it, that it says that Christ is the first fruit of the resurrection. Now, I want to talk with you for just a moment about that statement and the parts of the resurrection. Christ being the first part. And who else was a part of that? Who else was resurrected when Christ was resurrected? You ever thought about that? I want us to look at something as we look at that. And let's kind of look at these parts as they take place. So with that being said, I want to look at just a few verses here and yonder in God's word. I want to go back and read in Corinthians again, and we looked at this last Sunday, just putting a little more emphasis on it. It seemed like our way time run out. Maybe I talk too slow. It seems like time always runs out on us. In 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, I've got to turn to it, so you can turn to it too, okay? I want you to look at verse number 20. 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, verse number 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Okay? They're the first fruit. I don't know why it is in God's nature, but how many of us know that it seems like there's always one apple on an apple tree that gets ripe before anything else does? One peach gets ripe before anything else does. That's the first fruit. What does that tell us? That tells us there's going to be some more coming. They're there, but they're not ripe yet. It's not ready to be harvested yet. That first fruit's ready to be picked. And Christ is the first fruit of the resurrection. And there's nobody going before he does. And we know that when we look when we look at Christ and in the Gospels, in the account of it, we find that some were raised from the grave and appeared during the time that Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected. But if you notice in that statement that when it talked about those who were raised during that period of time, it says, that specifically says, they came forth after his resurrection. So you see, he's still the first fruit. So just keep that thought in mind. He is the first fruit. 21st verse says, and since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Now in Adam, we know what this has reference to. For as in Adam, what's the next word? All. All of us died. All of us are put on the under the curse of death. It's appointed to man once to die. Every single solitary person is going to die physically. So he says, and Adam all died. Even so in Christ shall what? All be what? Be made alive. Now, that's important for us to make a distinction here. And God's word makes a distinction here. Adam, everybody died. In Christ, everybody's going to be made alive. But this is talking about just life, not eternal life. Now, we're just talking about a resurrection to death. Now, verse number 23 starts off with what word? But. Pay attention, he's fixing to clarify. But every man in his own what? Order. Now, what does that tell us? That tells us there's a sequence to this. There's an order to this. There's a process that God has set into motion. He says, every man in his own order. And here we have that emphasis again. Christ the what? He is the first fruit. And then afterwards. See, everything now has got to come after him. He's the first fruit. And then afterwards, something else can take place. They that are Christ, what? At his coming. But notice the emphasis here. Who's going to be resurrected at his coming? They that are what? His. Those who have trusted, those who have believed in Christ, they that are Christ at his coming. You and I belong to him. He has bought us with his life, death, and resurrection and precious blood. We are a purchased possession of Jesus Christ. He owns us. You might not like that statement, but I'm glad he owns me. I don't know about you. Because you know what that does? That puts me in a position to be his brother's inheritance. And he says his desire is that where I am, there you may be also. Where's he at? He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. I'd say that's a pretty good place to be. So I'm glad I'm bought and paid for by the precious blood of Christ. So we are his. But notice it says at his coming is when we go. Now, after that, what takes place? You will not see anything in this verse that says anything about those that are not his other than the fact that it's later, that something's going to happen. Verse number 24, then cometh the end when she shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. And he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that he shall destroy is death. So, in these verses that we've just read, we see that there's a fruit, first fruit, and Christ is the first fruit. Then we've seen that us who know him, been saved by his marvelous grace, we're going to be raptured, raised, resurrected at his coming. Now, we've just read here in the book of Revelations that at the end of the tribulation period, those martyred saints who have lost their lives because of the trust in Jesus Christ, they are going to be resurrected at the end of the tribulation period. And all this is a part He said, this is the first resurrection. So it's all parts of the resurrection. But it is the first resurrection, the resurrection of those who are saved and those who know Christ. But in this, we've not seen anything about a resurrection of those who are lost. Other than when we begin, it says, but the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years are finished. So what about them? Well, we'll talk about those in just a few moments. Let's look at Ephesians for just a moment. And I never looked at this one in this light before, so I want us to examine this one. I've read these verses, and I guess I'm just hard-headed. But I never did see it like this before. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Every one of us is given what? Grace. According to whose measure? And it's according to His measure. Like Sister Regina's song, New Grace. We need Him to love us a little bit different today than He did yesterday because of circumstances in our lives. The wonderful thing is, He loves us every day. And He knows exactly how much He needs to express His love to us every day in every situation that we're in. And we need to experience His love sometimes in different ways today than we did yesterday because of circumstance. But He still loves us because we are His children. And here He says He measures it out, and He says it's a gift that comes through Christ. Wherefore, He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. So let's think on this for just a moment. When Christ was crucified, by the time they got the tomb sealed, I believe with all my heart, He says it's time for me to leave. He didn't stay in that tomb the whole time. He was out doing other things. What was He doing? Well, we know that He descended down Abraham's bosom, to hell itself. Now, if you remember, when the rich man died, maybe I need to read that to you too with this. I don't want to get too fast here. Let me... Go with me back over to Luke for just a moment. In Luke chapter number 16, the story that we've heard about the rich man that died... Read just a couple of verses here to you now, and I want you to get this picture. Chapter number 16, verse number 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by angels in Abraham's bosom. Remember Lazarus, the gate of a rich man's house, and the dogs licked his sores, and he would make crumbs from his table that would have been great for him. So Lazarus died, and he's carried to Abraham's bosom. The angels escorted him there. Rich man, he says, died. The latter part of that verse, number 22, it says, the rich man also died and was what? Was buried. Period. That's all it says to this point. Died and buried. Now the body's in a hole in the ground, but where is he, his soul? Now, and it says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, and being in torment, he seeth something. What does he see? He sees Abraham afar off. So from where he's at in hell, in this particular case, hell's in the heart of the earth, but also Abraham's bosom's where? Abraham's bosom also in the heart of the earth. How do I know that? Well, what does it say? He said he died and he saw something. What did he see? He saw Abraham. He saw Abraham afar off. But he saw somebody else also. And who did he see? He sees Lazarus. And where is Lazarus? In Abraham's bosom. Old Testament saints went to paradise, and it was classified as Abraham's bosom. Now, when we look at the 24 and on, we find that he cries and says, Father Abraham. So the communication here between Abraham and him. And he's begging for mercy. And who does he want to see now? He wants to see Lazarus. They used to lie out there at the gate, the dog lick his sores. Even though Lazarus must have been in terrible physical condition and shape at the particular time, they must have been a little bit something different about Lazarus that he saw also. Because for some reason, all of a sudden now, he thinks Lazarus can help him. Lazarus must have seen something in Lazarus that he didn't see it himself, did he? Can Christ be seen in us in whatever situation that we find ourselves in every day? That's important, that Christ can be seen in us, regardless of circumstance. So he says, I need some help. Of course, that's a whole nother message, a whole nother story. So we know now that here, and Christ said he ascended down to hell and also went to Abraham's bosom. Now, I want us to go back again to Ephesians. And I want us to look at this eighth verse, when he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. It's a very important statement here. What has God promised us through Christ? Where has he promised us that we will spend eternity? We're going to spend eternity in heaven, up on high, right? Okay. Now, if Satan could have ended this thing at Calvary, and Christ not have been resurrected, where are the Old Testament? All those who died prior to Christ, where are they? They're in Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom in the heart of the earth is not heaven on high, is it? So he had made God out of lie. And Christ said, that ain't going to work. So you know what he did? I believe with all my heart that just as soon as they sealed that grave tomb and he jerked them old grave clothes off, put on his righteous robe and be headed down to Abraham's bosom to all the Old Testament saints. And he says, y'all just hang in here just a little while longer, because in 3 days I'm going to rise. And when I rise, I'm going to leave captivity captive. I'm going to come back and get you, and we're going to be transported to glory. Where do you and I go when we die? Absent from the body and what? Present with the Lord. And I believe the Old Testament saints are present with the Lord today also. So, but see, he had to be the first fruit. And then, that's the reason he said, y'all hang on. See, it says here he led captivity captive. Now, I want you to look at something else in this particular verse. And I read this and never really, one of those things that kind of runs through your mind, you need to look at this a little bit different than you looked at it. There's something new you're not seeing. And then it says, and gave gifts unto men. What is that? So let's read a little bit farther. Not that he ascended, that is, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the what? The earth. Not just that he ascended, but he also descended. And it tells us where he descended to. He that descended is the same that also ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. So he's the fulfillment of all things. But now I want you to look at verse number 11. Something that corresponded at that particular time when he led captivity captive. It says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. You'll ponder over what's best been read there now and who they are. What are we doing here today? We're gathered in this sanctuary this morning, and you and I, and sometimes I try to figure this out why you come to hear me teach, but nevertheless, you're here and I'm teaching. At 11 o'clock, we'll have a service, will we not? And a pastor will begin to do what? A pastor, or in this case, Brother Ben is gone, someone else that's called to the ministry, and they will preach. You see, when we look at this, this tells me that here at this particular time, God's plan and program is in full strength, because the resurrection is coming in 3 days, and then we're going to usher in the dispensation of grace. By grace through faith, salvation comes. And I'm going to need preachers and teachers and those to carry on the gospel message of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I walked this earth during my earthly ministry, and I've told the gospel message of who I am and why God sent me and what my business is. I've come to do the will of the Father. The will of the Father is that he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. To do what? To die for us. The plain, simple gospel message of saving grace. And he says, now, I've called those to carry this gospel message, and I've given them that gift to carry on the call. And what we see here is a plan fulfilled for the age that we are now living in, the dispensation of the marvelous grace of God. And He's chosen those, He's called those evangelists and those pastors and those teachers. Plus, He tells us to be a what? A witness. Not only has He called the evangelists and the pastors and the preachers, He's called every one of us to be a witness for Him as we live this life journey, or walk this life journey. So I believe Old Testament saints already, souls already there in heaven. I don't think it's going to be long before you and I are going to be there. I know that it's going to be, if He was to come today, these that we talked about in the book of Revelation, I know that it's going to be at least 7 years before they would be there. But we're all part of that first resurrection. Now, in Luke, I want to read a verse to you. Go back to Luke chapter number 1 again. Let me read another verse to you there. In Luke chapter number 1, and we're talking about those things that were said to Mary Magdalene. When the angel appeared to her and said, "You're going to conceive a son from the Holy Ghost." Now, verse number 22. Well, I might be in the wrong. 32, I'm sorry. 32, not 22. Can't read my own writing. And he says, talking about, let's go to 31. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now, this Jesus, he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father," what? "David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Interested in that statement that the Lord God shall give unto him in verse number 32, the throne of his father David. That throne. Interested in that statement. Now, I want you to go back with me again to Revelation. We finally got back to Revelation. And good gracious, Revelation is the time gone. Let me just read this and then I'll close. Verse number 8 again. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death," we'll talk about that in length too, "hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, then we're going to talk about the 1,000 years when it's finished and what takes place. But see, we've all been reigning at this point. We have been reigning with Christ through the 1,000 years of the millennial reign. We discussed that millennial reign just a little bit more Lord willing, next Sunday. And then we're going to go when the 1,000 years are expired. You know, Satan's been locked up in the bottomless pit. Didn't say hell now. Says he's bound and chained into the bottomless pit. And he's been there for 1,000 years. And better off when he comes out of there and they take the chains off. He's not going to be humbled yet. He's going to be the same Satan and devil that he's always been, but he's going to be madder than you can imagine. But his madness is going to be put to dust right quick. God bless you and thank you for listening today.